Well, good morning, everyone. My name's Peter. I'm the Senior Minister of St Alfred's. Today's our third and final sermon as we've been thinking about the future of St Alfred's under the heading of Towards 2020. If you haven't been here for the last couple of weeks, this might be new to you, but in a couple of weeks ago, we looked at how we would go through this process, how we would work and pray together, and we've been doing that. Part of the working is meeting together and talking together, so we'll have the final opportunity to do that after the service. If you haven't engaged yet with any of the consultation meetings, please feel free to come. And if you have, you're welcome to come again and just continue to contribute as best you can. Last week I focused on local and global mission and how we want to keep extending our gospel influence. And this week I want to reflect on how we resource future ministry and mission. Let me pray and then I'll begin. Heavenly Father, thank you that you have created the church. Thank you for the leaders of the early church like Paul and these men that he prayed with at Ephesus, the early church as it spread round the Mediterranean, and for those who centuries later brought the gospel to Australia, to Melbourne and to Blackburn. We thank you for the great ancestors we have in Christ, and we pray that we might be great ambassadors to further the work of the gospel in Christ's name. Amen. Now, I always find this section of Acts very moving as Paul, who's been in Ephesus for about 3 years, he's been working hard, he's been evangelizing, he's been teaching, he's been building up an embryonic church, as he then expresses his concern for them because he's about to leave them and head to Israel. And he says, "You won't see me again." It's a very emotional moment for Paul and for the leaders of this church. And relationships in churches can be like this. When you've served in ministry together, relationships develop and deepen, and it is really hard to say goodbye. This is especially true if, like Paul and these leaders, you've started some Christian ministry from scratch. You've proclaimed the gospel together, you've seen people come to faith, you've overcome problems, and you've seen the thing grow. You develop a real bond and a deep-seated love for each other, so it is hard to part. But Paul knows that he has further work to do, that God is calling him to something else, and that he must leave, and that's part of the cost of ministry. So look with me at these last couple of verses, verse 36 onwards. When Paul had finished speaking, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them most was his statement that they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship. So they're facing an unknown future, and it's a very emotional moment. Now, we go in the story with Paul on the further journey, but the thing I want to remind you of here is that one of the things these elders at Ephesus know is that they've got a job to do. There's a church there, and Paul is leaving them now to lead this church. And Paul knows that the job that these leaders have is a very serious job and even a dangerous job. And so he warns them about a number of things that I want to draw your attention to that every Christian leader must be aware of. He tells them to watch out for three things. First of all, he says, watch over yourselves, verse 28. So leaders are vulnerable. Christian leaders are vulnerable to temptation and trials. They need to, first of all, guard their own hearts. Paul himself is a model here of honesty and integrity. He has served the church with all his strength, and that's what all Christian leaders must do. So we must keep watch over ourselves, firstly. Then secondly, keep watch over the flock. Again, verse 28. Leaders are shepherds and pastors, sort of agricultural metaphors, and the church is a flock. And the leaders must care for this flock and not cause harm. Now, after all, if you notice very carefully, the church does not belong to the leaders. It's God's church, verse 28, bought with the blood of Jesus. And leaders are appointed to their leadership roles by God through the work of the Holy Spirit. And it's a humbling responsibility then to be entrusted with oversight of God's church. And every Christian leader must remember that this is God's church. But we note that the church actually needs such leaders. Every church and Christian ministry needs godly men and women who will, in fact, pastor and shepherd the flock that God has entrusted to them. So, first of all, watch out for yourselves, watch over the flock. And then thirdly, watch out for wolves, verse 29 to 30. One of the key ways that ministers and leaders and pastors protect the church is by teaching the truth. If you've got your Bible there, notice the word truth is mentioned in verse 30. This is an absolutely vital part of Christian leadership because other teachers, here called wolves, will try to destroy the church. But notice how they try to destroy the church. It's not by teaching lies, it's by distorting the truth. So enough is said that people go, yeah, that sounds true, but it's actually a distortion. And this is made all the more difficult because the wolves come from inside the church as well as outside the church. I've often said, don't quote me on this, I've often said, I could do Canberra, I could be in politics, because when you stand up in the House of Parliament, you know the enemy is on the other side. But I've been in, I don't know if I should say this, I've been in some Christian gatherings that are mainly Anglican, and you're not sure if everyone behind you is on your side. Do you know what I mean? So sometimes it's made even more difficult to know how to address issues of truth and distortion because the fight is inside the church as much as outside. So we need godly leaders of integrity who will be shepherds in God's church, and these leaders need to be able to teach biblical truth and discern doctrinal error so that God's people can hear the gospel and be built up in the faith. Now, this is not an easy job. As you can see from Paul's own experience, where he describes how day and night, with tears, he has tried to warn them and teach them, verse 31. Being a Christian leader with this type of responsibility of teaching the truth and protecting the flock is emotionally, intellectually, and spiritually demanding. Now, I'm not saying all this to try and pump up my own tires. This is about how we grow ministry and how we develop leaders at all sorts of levels. It's part of my job as your senior leader to ensure that we do have good leaders here, both on the staff team and in voluntary leadership roles. And I can honestly say over the 15 years that I've been senior leader here that I've been thrilled with the character and quality of the leaders we have at St. Alfred's. We are very richly blessed, and we should not take that for granted. I can guarantee you that the staff team and the volunteer key leaders here take our responsibility seriously and try as best we can to pastor you, teach you the truth, and not to cause harm. Now, we're not strictly speaking in the same situation as Paul and this Ephesian church, but I think we can see from this one New Testament passage that there is a need for good leaders as the church moves forward into the future. Now, let me just think about us and towards 2020. I've been really encouraged by the consultation meetings over the last couple of weeks. Together as a church, we are seriously trying to sense where God wants to take us. There is a real commitment in this church to try and to extend the gospel, to try and be a church that keeps promoting the name of Jesus. There are many things we could do, but we are trying to discern through this process the high-level new thing that God wants us to do. As I've said publicly, I'll be happy if the result of this could be written on the back of an envelope. Now, today I want to draw your attention to the fact that the long-term outcomes of Towards 2020 will depend on having good and godly leaders. And I want to draw your attention to the costs involved in that. Good Christian ministry that lasts for decades, requires good leaders, leaders with the integrity and commitment to biblical truth that Paul mentions here. Leaders who will pastor and shepherd, leaders who will teach the Bible, proclaim the gospel and be fearless when they recognise there's some distortion of the truth. The wardens and I have regular discussions about staff appointments, and the staff and I have regular discussions about staff appointments and also volunteer appointments. This is an issue that never goes away for me. I'm always thinking about appointments and leadership. It's part of my responsibility. Now, part of the jigsaw of how we can appoint good leaders is unfortunately to do with money. I'll explain by commenting on how things have changed over the past decade here. I want to show you a couple of graphs. One of them you've seen if you were here a couple of weeks ago. So here's the graph of how our membership has changed in the last decade or so. So the first year is 2004, and you can see the number of members of the church is 416. And then the final year is last year, and the membership was 617. I'll show you the next graph. Just notice the shape of that graph. And there's the graph of our expenses over the same time. It's almost a mirror image. In 2004, our membership was just over 400, as I said, and our costs were about $338,000. In 2014, last year, our membership was just over 600 people, and our costs were $836,000. Now, over that period, membership has increased about 50%, while costs have increased about 67%. Some of the increase in costs is due to inflation. Some of it is due to these new facilities, not only building them, but actually maintaining them and running them. It just costs more in this bigger building. And some of it is due to increased ministry and mission activity and the consequent addition of extra staff who've provided the oversight. We're a busier church. We do more ministry. We're involved in more mission work, as I explained last Sunday. Just in relation to staff, in 2004, we had 8 people on the staff team. 3 were full-time and 5 were part-time, including 3 trainees. At present, this year, our staff team consists of 14 people. So we've gone from 8 people to 14. 4 are full-time, 9 are part-time, including 3 who are in training, and 1 is a volunteer. Here's what the staff team looks like at the moment. A senior minister, a senior associate minister, an associate minister, a pastoral care minister part-time, a music and creative arts minister part-time, a youth minister, a youth ministry trainee part-time, a children's minister part-time, an assistant children's minister part-time, a student minister / Sunday at 4 minister part-time, a Sunday at 4 trainee part-time, an administrator part-time, an assistant administrator part-time, and the IT guy part-time, who is honorary, who's made all these slides for me. Now, if we want to maintain good ministries, we have to, something similar to what we have now, we have to then, at a minimum, keep providing something like that sort of staff team. If we want to grow, then inevitably there will need to be further staff appointments. Now, this is a complex process. Let me explain. Some future staff appointments could, in fact, be volunteers and will be able to self-fund. So like the Apostle Paul was able to do in Ephesus, we have 1 volunteer staff member at the moment. It may be that others could do this. They would be accorded the authority of being a staff member, but be able to do that in some form of tent-making or self-funding way. Some staff may be trainees and be partly self-funded, partly supported by partners, or partly paid a small amount from the church. We have 3 in that situation at the moment, and this includes people who are formally training for ministry as well as people who are just testing out whether ministry is their life. Others will be full-time or part-time and then paid according to Anglican pay scales. Some of those will be clergy and some others will be lay leaders. That's sort of the complex matrix of where some staff come from, and there are potential others as well. Now let's add in the issue of money. Over the last 15 years, while I've been your senior minister, I've rarely spoken about our finances, and yet we've been able to pay all our week-to-week costs and even pay off a sizable loan on this building. Now that's been an incredible effort and something which I really thank God for, and I hope you do too. I do hear around the traps, because of that, what we've been able to do, I do hear around the traps something like, oh, St Alfred's is a rich church. And I tell people who have the gall to say that to me, directly, rather than whispering it in the corridors, I say to them, no, get this right. I'm very strong on this, very firm. It really annoys me if they say this. I say, St Alfred's is not a rich church. St Alfred's is a generous church. It's a very, very distinct difference. Our situation, though, at the moment, is a bit tricky. Last year at the annual meeting, you were presented with a deficit budget. The wardens and treasurer predicted that we would end this year about $70,000 in the red. And the church financial year ends on September 30th. The bad news is that we will indeed finish with a deficit, unless there's a miracle of generosity out there waiting to surprise me. I'm available for surprises. The good news is that the deficit is looking more like $50,000, not $70,000. Nevertheless, that is a sizable deficit, particularly when you think of staff appointments. That is a sizable deficit, and we pray that something miraculous will happen. Now, what adds to the complexity is that the church is still growing, as you saw from that graph that I just showed you about membership, and we have aspirations about future ministry, as we are discovering from the Towards 2020 process. So we would like to keep growing, is my simple point. Now, the question is, how do we move forward and remain financially sustainable? Now, I want to do something now which I would not normally do, and that is to comment on a specific staff position. It's to do with Sunday at 4, our newest congregation, which is a form in itself of a church plant. Many of you helped to make the decision to start Sunday at 4. That took place, that decision-making process took place between about 2012 and 13, and then we began it last year on Easter Sunday 2014. Now, that has been staffed by Mark Dewars, who's been doing a magnificent job leading this congregation from its inception. But Mark has been doing this role part-time as a student minister. He's been a congregational leader, while also studying at Ridley and training to be an ordained minister and doing everything that the Anglican Diocese of Melbourne requires of him. That's quite a load. Also, he's married and has two little children. Now, he finishes his training this year, and God willing, the Archbishop will ordain him early next year. Now, I would love to appoint Mark to the staff team to keep leading the Sunday at 4 congregation and to keep growing it. I think his role and Erin's role, his wife, is very significant in the birth and the ongoing life of that congregation. But that appointment will add a significant cost item to our budget. I'm in discussions at the moment with our new bishop about whether there are any grants from the diocese that could help us. You can imagine how those discussions are going. I have been exploring one or two other possibilities with the wardens. So you can see that if we want to provide good leadership over a long time, not just, you know, a year or two, then we have to be responsible and be prepared to bear the costs that are involved. Now, at one of the consultation meetings last Sunday, someone mentioned that Sunday at 4 is still very new, and we shouldn't forget that as we keep thinking about the future, and that it does require continued support. So I'm reminding you of this as I thought about it through the week, that that was an important thing to do. There's one staff appointment possibility. Hold that in your mind. At the same time that I'm thinking about this, I am having different discussions with different people in different contexts about other possible staff roles, including someone to oversee the new website once it is finalised, someone to help with communications in a broad sense, a finance or business manager, a pastoral care minister for the evening congregation, and the potential new trainees or interns. Depending on where the Towards 2020 ends up, we may also need to think about a church planter or someone to lead a church partnership or someone to help us engage with the local community more or someone to oversee further training or add whatever you want from your wish list. Now, it's all very exciting and I'm sure God will direct us. That's why I keep asking you to pray, and God will continue to resource the ministries as he directs us. but it does require some pretty serious thinking and planning. Now, can I ask you, just in response to this, to do two things? I'm doing this very upfront. There's no attempt to manipulate or do anything here. I want you to just do two things in regard to your giving and your support of the ministries here. First of all, and I'm quite serious about this, would you pray? Would you go away and just pray, put all of this before God? It's part of Towards 20s, part of the future, part of the life of the church. Lord, what do you want me to do? How can we respond? Pray about your giving to St. Alfred's. Then secondly, after praying, could you review what you are giving and, if possible, increase it? I don't want to put anyone under any financial pressure. God will direct you. If it's something that's possible, you will see it in your prayers. Some of you are extraordinarily generous, and I really appreciate that. We couldn't do what we do without your generosity. Some of you may think that St. Alfred's is actually a rich church. You've fallen into that trap as well. And St. Alfred's doesn't actually need your support, so you send all your support to other organisations. Now, that is incorrect. I hope from today you realise we actually do need your support, so please prayerfully reconsider. Some of you may not realise that it takes a lot of money to run the ministries and mission work that we do here. You might think, oh, it's just church, it doesn't cost much, you know, and I can just go along and join in and be happy and that's all okay. Well, I hope today you're a bit more informed and can reconsider your giving in the light of what I've said, particularly the graphs that I showed you of the increase of costs. Many of you give electronically, which is really great. It really helps us to budget. And if you're unsure about how to do that, you'll see on the back of contact and on our website how you can give electronically. But maybe you've set up some electronic form of giving some time ago and you haven't changed it for a while. It's a sort of been on a set and forget type of thing. If that's you, could I just ask you again, prayerfully reconsider and see if you can increase that. Now, if you are a member of St. Alfred's, I encourage you to take this part of your discipleship and your belonging to St. Alfred's really seriously. I'm not having a go at anybody. As I've said, this is a very generous church. I love being the senior minister of this church because people are generous. So just, I'm asking you to prayerfully consider this. You can give regularly through electronic means or via envelopes or by putting cash or cheques in the offertory. Now, I am so grateful to you because we couldn't have done what we've done over the last 15 years without the support of so many people. We've reached a stage where we're reconsidering what the future holds. We're thinking about starting something new perhaps or extending our influence. Today, what I've simply tried to do is point out that will require at least two important resources. One is leaders and the other is finances. Please continue to pray about this. You're a great church. I love being your senior minister. I'm really excited to see where this will go. And as I said to Ruth before the start of the service, all they can do is say no. I'll just ask and all you can do is say no. I'll look a bit stupid. That's okay. I get used to that after a while. But I'm certain that with God guiding us and guiding you, we'll be able to figure out what to do and how to resource it, and we'll have stories to tell about God's grace to us and how that has worked out. So thank you. If you'd like to come back and talk, we won't be talking specifically about money and leaders unless you want to, but if you want to come back after the service is over, 15 minutes later, just to talk about anything to do with the future, you're very welcome.